Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
Oh boy. It's August. We're surviving the summer. Haven't melted.
It is the end of August by the time this one releases.
Oh god, yeah, you're right. Damn. Yeah. Shit, forgot about that.
This will be released just as Gen Con is opening its doors.
Dude, that's the middle of August. That's the 16th, 17th.
Yeah, well.
I know, because it's a couple days after my birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm going into the last year of me being in my 30s.
Oh, it's no big deal. Trust me.
Although I did get a really, really nice compliment. I was hopping off the elevator coming out of work. And one of the more, you know, the higher up peoples, you know, like the getting... You know, I'm in the grunt level, you know, I'm in the techies, and, you know, when you start getting more into managers, she's like, I thought you were in your 20s.
Isn't that the best?
I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody told me one time that once I had shaved, I looked like I was like 15. So
no, it's worse with Zippy. Did he tell you the story?
Yeah. I do remember him telling me that story.
Yep, a grown-up garbage pail kid.
Yeah.
This is why it's the rule, because he did it once. In the 17 years we've been together, he has shaved everything once. He did not like the repercussions of that. I'm like, I can't even kiss you, dude.
Crow that shit back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's been nuts. It has been absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so by the time this drops, we are going to be neck deep in the ending of, getting close to the end of Dog Days.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty proud of myself. I've actually done now like two shows back to back, you know. Do one, save it, do all that processing crap, and then do another one and set it for the very, very next day.
Yeah.
I've never done that before. That is exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. When there was times before where I would record, like when we were doing a lot of stuff, I would do like two or three all in one sitting, like try to edit two or three shows in one sitting and get them all together so that they were just, I didn't have to do any work to put them up there. And yeah.
The one thing I have found out is I've started spinning up my own podcast, 5 degrees off normal. As you all know, I'm crazy. But I can't listen to myself in standard. I speed it up.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
It's that weird, you know, I already live in the uncanny valley. I don't want to make it any more wackadoo.
Right.
So I'll just like speed it up. I'm like, yay, it sounds like a Muppet. I'll take it. You know, and also it allows me to edit a heck of a lot faster.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yay, I can do, you know, fix two problems.
Yeah.
I have no idea how you do it, dude.
lots of practice. I was actually looking at our show totals, and we have done, between all of the Dog Days and the 12 days of podcasting and all of our regular shows, which this is number 28, we have almost 50 right now. By the time this one drops, we'll have almost 75.
Well, you do the, well, the thing is, like, the dog days is under the C's GM banner.
Right.
And, you know, like, mine,
which is one of
mine
the reasons why I try to do things that are related to gaming for dog days, because if I don't, I feel like it's kind of cheapening it. So that way there's always something for C's the GM.
Yeah. The thing is, it's on mine instead of kvetching about, well, life, because how much emo can I get, you know? But I'm like, all right, you know, want to do, try and review. I'm starting with video games, and I'm thinking, all right, when I, maybe a review of board games and then tabletop experiences, but it's more of the interspersing life, I guess, into it, so.
Right. Yeah.
Meh. We'll see how it goes. This is another experiment, and damn you, Null, I love you to death, I miss you, dared me to do it.
Yep. Actually, the both of us dared you to do it.
Well, he started it. You just jumped on.
Oh, made and it worse. I went overboard on force. On
yeah,
to
you
do
did.
It, so.
Yeah, you did. You little pokey trauma
monsters. But it's fun.
Yeah,
we have a lot of fun, and yeah.
There are some awesome and ridiculous podcasts too. So
yeah, well, yeah.
We'll put a link to the website so you guys can check out some of the podcasts. You might find something you like, because
oh god, there are so many good ones.
And there's ones that are just, you're kind of like, you scratch your head and you're like, that's funny.
Yeah.
So
I didn't tell you, we got a new review for the show.
What?
On iTunes, yeah, we got another one.
I'm gonna hide.
And it's a 5-star. And it's from Reservation for Jerry. For those who like their gaming, this is the podcast for you. Takes me back to my days playing D&D when I was young. Keep up the great work.
Aww.
So awesome.
No, come on and join us on the Facebook page and join in the discussion. And
The Facebook group.
I'll post
group.
Pictures of my mini painting and the many failures, and probably the, how the hell did you get paint there, dude?
Yeah, actually, we had to take a break. My wife has been painting like a maniac, and she's been working a lot lately, so we've had to actually pull back from how much mini painting we were doing. Like, I still have most of my big guys left to finish and some of the core stuff, but we have made a huge dent in our minis. And they're doing the new one right now. Bones 4 is up, and I'm like resisting with everything I have right now.
Well, I just finished doing the terrain crate bagger kit.
So
I had to put in all my data, so I did it.
You finally did it?
Yep, finally got off my ass and did something.
Yeah, they were like, I kept getting emails like every couple of days. You need to fill this out. And then when I went to go do it, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't give me the right price point on my crate. So I like had to contact customer service, and they sent me a special link and everything so that I could set mine up. Yeah.
Suck.
Yeah, but I did mine, and they took their $21 shipping from Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it's Europe.
Yeah.
We're not, so I understand that.
Yeah, and it was $21. I didn't get anything extra. I just got my 3 crates, because I've been told that there is another crate that will be coming my way for a birthday/Christmas.
Well, next time I see you, yes.
Yeah, well, once they come, which isn't going to be until like March or April.
Like I said, you'll probably get, like I said, next time I see you, and you said if all goes well, and next year you're doing Gen Con with us.
Yes, hopefully. That is the game plan.
Mm-hmm. And here's the good news, Steve. One of my buds from work mentioned, it's just like, look, you know, it's like, you might, it's like, look, some of the for doing conventions and stuff like that. Don't just look at, okay, what deals do you have with the con center? You know, what does that convention have deals with? But he mentioned, he's like, all right, you know, and not just Airbnb, see if there's any kind of like budget places. Yeah, you're going to be paying a bit, you know, because it is convention season. But those are going to be snapped up a little bit slower because everyone's going through, trying to get the convention deal.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, yeah. Yeah. He's like, I like it when you visit, dude's from San Diego.
Okay.
So yeah, when he's over here and there's like a con or something like that, it's kind of awesome. So he's, and when he comes in, he's just like, cause he's like, oh yeah, San Diego Comic Con. I'm like, I know you could walk to it if you wanted to. I get grumpy on that. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Well, speaking of San Diego and cons, and what are some of the fun things that we find at cons?
Cosplay.
Games. We're a GMing show.
I know, but I wanted to do a complete and total random non sequitur that didn't fit with the theme of the game.
Ah, good point.
Yes.
See what you did there.
Ha ha.
So, games. That is one of the big things that shows up at gaming conventions.
Well, the thing is, like, it's not just that, but it, conventions, you would think there would be a lot of games, like, even including, like, Dragon Con. It's certain ones that are kind of supposed to be, like, gaming and media and stuff like that. I've noticed a trend, at least my friends have noticed, that sometimes the games are getting a little pushed off to the side.
Yeah.
So if that kind of bugs you, make sure you contact the con staff that you go to. It's like, hey, you know what? I would have liked to see better staff at the gaming library or more room for like playing board games.
Yeah.
So yeah,
because that is a big thing. That, you know, if mm-hmm. if you want to play games, you have to let them know that you want to be there to play games. And yeah.
And if somebody does something awesome, here's the important thing: let them know that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if everything's going great, what do you have to say? But if something goes straight to hell, you're going to bitch.
Yep.
But if you know, if you let people know that something was awesome, you know, they're actually going to remember. Everyone's going to remember like all the nasty things. But you say something nice and awesome, they're going to remember that a lot longer. It's going to stick even better. So,
yeah. Actually, you know, one of the big things, a lot of conventions, I think most of them have like Facebook pages now and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And start talking about it because that will generate more people that follow that page to go, oh yeah. And I love that they did this and they did that for gaming, and eventually it would help.
Yeah. Or vendors that do something like that, you know, yeah. If a vendor that they have there was really awesome, you know, say that was awesome. And if they sucked, say it sucked.
Yeah.
You know, Don't bash, just be, you know, because somebody manning a booth might have had a bad day. You know, there's you guys are adults, most of you. Heck with it. Let's just put it this way. You are living, breathing, thinking, empathetic, usually human beings. You know the difference between someone having a bad day and somebody being a jerkwad.
Yeah. And if you try to come up to somebody on a Sunday demanding that they give you some special deal, don't. Some of them may do it, but most of them, if they don't sell it to you, they're going to go to another convention in a week or 2 weeks, and they're going to sell it there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that most people don't get.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, asking. Is like, hey, you know.
Do you have any con deals?
Yeah.
That's different.
You know, check with that. Or, you know, it's like, or maybe like, hey, if I volunteer and help you take down, could I get XYZ? Just, you know, look, these guys are artists. These guys are salespeople. They want to make money so that way they can keep doing what they're doing. And the companies that make the games can keep doing what they're doing. They need money. They'll make sure that if you like it, give them the money so that way they can do more stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I like the video game Dark Souls. Okay. I love it. I suck at it. Zippy's great at it. I suck at it. I'm actually better at Bloodborne. But they came out with a board game for Dark Souls, and it has that get good feel and like getting your butt kicked in the beginning and exploring the lore, and it was really good. So, you know what, I couldn't afford the board game back then, but I got a business card, and I have it on my Amazon wish list. And, you know, I bought the company, they have smaller things. So, yeah, I'll buy a pin, even if it's $2, yeah. You know, because I enjoyed that board game. And by the way, that board game is awesome. I mean, you found some ones out there, didn't you?
Oh, boy.
Come on, spit it out.
Well, at Origins, I found, I have, it's, hold on, let me grab it. Okay, it's Blades in the Dark, okay? This game, I like, hold on, I have to read to you the, so this is one pair, it's one sentence, and it describes the setting in, it takes much longer in the earlier parts of it, but this one sentence summarizes the entire setting, and it's beautiful.
Stop leaving me in suspense.
You are in a haunted Victorian-era city, trapped inside of a wall of lightning, powered by demon blood.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, but doesn't that sound like an awesome setting for a game? And your your rogues inside of these locked cities.
That'd be damn. Yeah.
That is Blades in the Dark. I cannot wait. I want to review it because it's just so amazing. Like, what I've been reading of it is so good.
Yeah, I need to stop and you've been poking me to read it. I'm like, do you realize, you know, I'm not 20 anymore. I can't do all like all at once. The game that I found, and this is, I guess, you know, today's topic, talking about games that we really, really like, you know, not just tabletop games, but board games where it's collective. And because you and Noel told me I had to play it, Paranoia.
Oh, yeah.
Friend Computer. And now that there's actually kind of, I'm not kidding, there is, at Origins, there was a Paranoia LARP.
Yeah.
But there's also now a couple of different flavors of Paranoia where it's easy to craft the story, but you don't realize that reading the rules, you're not cleared for that, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have the right clearance. Friend Computer says you're not the right, you don't have the right clearance.
Yep.
And I didn't get half of this stuff. But it is, oh my gosh, because I walked in there not knowing what the heck I was doing. Like, you need D6s, and I hold up my Shadowrun bag. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And looking like Shadowrun, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the thing is, I like it because you also get to pick out, you know, your name and stuff like that. And I was in a kind of, the role that I had gotten at that one specifically, I was the red shirt, okay? So I didn't listen to anybody else. So I named my character, and I put it in quotes, and you could hear the periods between Bob R. Dobbs. J.R. Bob Dobbs, because, you know, fuck them if they can't take a joke, and, you know, when I fail, I make $1,000, so I don't have to listen to you. So I really went off on that shit. It was hilarious.
Yeah. So actually, I picked up two new games this week.
What type? Cardboard?
RPG.
What? Okay.
There is I've talked about this used bookstore that I have here in town, and I picked up, because I already had the player's guide for Deadlands Savage Worlds.
Yes.
I found a Marshall's guide. So I can do Deadlands Savage Worlds now.
I backed the Kickstarter. I own all of them now.
So, yeah, well, I found it for $10.
Yeah.
So,
but no,
which is
me,
awesome.
Me doing the Kickstarter, I have all the Deadlands books. It's great.
Yeah. And then the other one that I picked up was the new edition of Innominae.
Do, 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 do.
Yes.
I love it that game. I have so many of the source books, but anytime someone says it,
that's the immediate thing. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: the celestial choruses and the demonic bands. What's your fave?
You know what? I haven't looked at it yet. I got it, but because I've got so many other things going on, I have not had any chance to even crack the book.
The one thing I like is each the heavenly choruses and the demonic bands. They're pretty much they have there's like you have the seraphim. And when they fall, they become ball seraphs. And almost there's always a counterpart, but there is one in the celestial chorus and there's one in the demonic bands that do not have an alternative counterpart. So, and in the demonic bands, that's a Lilim. And in the celestial chorus, I believe that's the Ophanim, the circles of fire, if I recall correctly.
Okay. I don't...
But, The one thing that's cool with that game is when you're rolling your dice, you know, it's like, remember Egg and Shadowrun, you know, it's like, oh, you can like critically glitch or... The thing is, if you roll three ones, that's sign of the Trinity. It's divine intervention. You roll three sixes because you're doing this all on D6. That's demonic intervention.
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was so neat. And it's Steve Jackson Games, who also... GURPS, of course, and we got Illuminati University, IOU.
Yeah.
What's the O stand for? You're not clear to know that.
Yeah.
I love that book. And it has the folios of the people that do Girl Genius. They did the artwork for it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I haven't even cracked the book yet. It's sitting on my shelf right now. I'm looking at it going, oh, I really need to open you and read you, but... I have another game I have to read in addition to my Blades in the Dark.
Oh God, now what?
Bubble Gumshoe?
What's that? I've never heard of that.
It's Gumshoe, but it's like high school.
You mean as in the old system. Kind of like noir detective, yeah. Inspector?
Yep.
PI kind of thing? All right, I wanted to double check because...
It's a teen detective story game.
What?
Yeah. And it's hilarious because like...
Are we talking like an old school Encyclopedia Brown kind of thing? Do you remember those books? Were they around when you were a kid?
I don't remember.
Come on, I don't get to do that many digs about your over to me. I got one in.
It's fun because I have to say this right now. Is one the production artist for the book was my wife. So I'm gonna just state that right for the record. Because if I don't, there's that whole they could
bias
come after
thing.
Me and it's biased and it's not. I haven't
and also
read
your
it.
Wife would probably smack you with a spoon and like, why didn't you mention me?
No, she probably wouldn't. She actually doesn't like it when I do. And one of my friends, like, there's doodles throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like a teen girl would draw in her notebook, like, you know, like a burst of stars out of one of the corners and stuff like that. Well,
wait.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I never did that.
Well, there's like little doodles
and
equations. Stuff. And like, yeah, there's like doodles and like little handwriting and stuff. And one of the people that did it was a really good friend of mine.
Cool.
And this is the first time he's gotten into a game book. And it was just as a like doodles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just they literally had him just doodle weird crap. And he did all kinds of fun things. And he
after
ended
you
up.
You read it, you'll have to give. And it's like, because when I was young. Like in elementary school, I loved like the Donald J. Sobol Encyclopedia Brown books. So if okay. It's kind of like that, I'll probably love it.
It's Ken Haidt wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of the people that helped write it is Ken
Why
Haidt.
Why is that name familiar?
Because he does a lot of, God, what is the, there's a Cthulhu one that's based, Octum Cthulhu, I think, or
Arkham?
No, Octum. It's the detective version of Cthulhu using Gumshoe. Like, there's a Gumshoe version of it. And Ken Height is, like, involved in a lot of stuff from Evil Hat.
I have to check it up because it's like that half familiar and I can't quite place it.
Yeah, he does all kinds of really cool things. I think Ken Height helped write the Dresden books, maybe? Like for the RPG stuff?
Because
I know that's an Evil Hat game, which is Fate. So, but yeah, Ken Height is notorious for Cthulhu stuff. That's where I know him from.
I'll have to look because it's just one of those.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it's gonna bug me. It's gonna bug me for about
10
either
minutes.
It's either I forget it or I'm able to open up Wikipedia and just start diving.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing is games. Here's the thing is, like, you brought up the Cthulhu thing, and everybody, you know, a lot of people is like, oh my God, I'm so burned out on Cthulhu. The thing is, you ain't doing the right type of Cthulhu then. Not everything has to be, you know, the Mountains of Madness. Not everything all has to be in that exact time frame of H.P. Lovecraft. You can do Cthulhu horror. You can do Cthulhu.
There's a great modern version right now.
I played it.
Delta Green.
It was
Green?
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to play it. And,
the
know,
new Delta and, Green? Do you have to play the new one?
No, not the newest.
Okay. Because they just released like a whole like new edition, I think, of Delta.
Yeah, I'll have to look at what edition I played because I don't remember. But played in modern day with modern stuff.
Yeah.
But, well, not completely modern. Not completely new stuff. It was like in the early 2000s, you know. I'm like, okay.
Okay,
but.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, oh, 1910. No, we weren't doing in the Roaring Twenties. No, and Zippy played a Cthulhu game where they were all gangsters and you know, Al Capone type bootleggers and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, and they're like, and here's the thing: the guy that ran it, actually had history books from the Roaring Twenties, and everyone's like, oh, you can't hide that many weapons on you. And he will actually open up a history book and go, bullshit. This is what they pulled off of one of the low-level dudes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it was all hidden. He's like, yeah, it was hidden. They took the main weapons that you could see, and then they stripped them to pull all the other weapons out, you know, from inside the coat and all that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's all kinds of fun games like that. And
oh yeah, and there's
okay, so I'm gonna say this and it's very tentative right now, but there is something that we are contemplating doing.
Total world domination and enslaving the stupid people to work in the marshmallow mines.
Well, of course, Pinky.
But I don't know. It's like when I do my hair like that, I don't really look like Pippi Longstocking.
So
sorry, okay. I had to do that. I've been watching Animaniacs.
So I don't know if anybody would be interested, but I have contemplated doing it would be released on a different day, but it would be APs of different games. Like not stick to one game for like a
whole thing. It'd be like a one day one shot.
Or maybe like a 2 or 3 day, you know.
Yeah. The thing is, I'll be honest, a lot of the early D&D first edition and what have you. Very different than now. And I will, if you make me play that, I will mess the rules up.
No, you really can't. This is the first one that I'm talking about doing. And it's actually the old basic D&D. So you have seven classes. That's your choices. Okay.
All right.
You have fighter, magic user, thief, cleric, elf, dwarf, and halfling.
I forgot. Yes. Races. Those? Races were classes.
Anything that wasn't human was a class.
So, I will be playing a fighter, thank you. I don't... Magic.
But see, back in the day, it was super... But it's different, like I'm trying to remember, but I think fighters only had, like, D8 hit points.
Nah, it's just me. Magic users, nah, I like playing fighters.
And so...
Fighters are my jam. That's... I like them. It's much... It's the... You point, I punch. It's the very much the Minx from... I don't know if you guys remember Baldur's Gate, but... it's like, butt kicking for goodness! That's pretty much all I do. It's much easier. It's like, the squeaky wheel gets the kick. I can do that.
Yeah. Now, this is tentative right now. I'd like to know if anybody would be interested in hearing any of us run games, because while I've been doing something with Hidden Grid, I'm not, like, none of my shows have actually hit air yet.
Yeah. That's what happens when illnesses kick everyone in the butt.
And I'm
it was like, better, people, please.
I'm waiting on Justin for that, and I want to sit down and talk with him about a couple of things. But as a small little note, for the Origins episode, we had Godemanger on, and he has agreed to come on a regular basis until we get Null back. So we'll be back to three people.
That's going to be weird.
It is. It's going to take a little bit of maybe an episode or two.
It's weird because it's not Null, and it's like, wait a minute, It's not like an interview thing or something. It's like, okay, wait a minute. And it's like the voice cadence is wrong. It's like, that's not right.
Yeah, it'll take a little bit of getting used to, but that's why I wanted to let everybody know. Monster. He is. He loves rules too, man.
And spreadsheets.
Yes.
You know, I will tell you, he actually that'd probably be really good getting him on with, because the thing is, like, how to design your own GM cheat sheets and all that other stuff, because, you know, I know you really, really like pen and paper, and I'm lazy, so I'll just download what everyone else does, but he knows how to think stuff about, all right, you know, like way back when he did the initiative tracker.
Yeah.
You know, that, like I said, wealth of knowledge.
It's hilarious because, well, he actually wrote up for me a cheat sheet for Matrix stuff. So I didn't have to sit down and learn it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He hooked it up, and the two of us actually tackled the stuff that Null had been writing. And in the edits, it'll probably get pulled out, but you hear us debating how rules should work. And I kind of hope that if that does get pulled out of that episode, that Null sends it over to me, because I would love to put that together as an example of how you can use your player and your GM to sit there and bounce ideas about how rules can work. Because Joel and I had a really good rapport, because it's just the two of us for that whole entire thing where we were just bouncing how we figured out how to make these rules work. So it was really cool.
Spiffy.
Yeah. But also, at the end of August, this is another little, I need to poke this out there. At the end of August, we are going to be teaming up with the guys and girls and bloggers and everybody over at Meeple Gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting, and it's going to take a little bit of letting people know that there's all this other material stuff that they offer too, because
don't go over to Meeple Gamers just for a quick look. Set aside some time where you're not going to be doing anything. I usually recommend rush hour traffic or, you know, waiting. It's like, gosh darn it, Overwatch got to update. So you have a nice long time to deep dive. That site has a lot of stuff, and it's really cool. Does. I know. The thing is, like, oh, because when you brought it up, I went like, all right, I went over to the site, and I like looked. And then I looked at my watch. I'm like, Zippy's going to kick my butt because it's late.
Yeah.
Like 2 a.m. We had stopped recording at midnight.
Yeah, it's... There, he has a ton of stuff on there, and it's all good, especially if you love board games, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually going to be the first. We are two things to that group. We are going to be the first podcast and the first role-playing centered thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we are. I was when he came to me and asked me if I wanted to do it, I was like, oh, okay, I can do that.
In the immortal words of my ancestors, hell yeah.
Yeah, it was. I was kind of floored when he asked me, and it took me a couple of days to. Because I talked with you and I talked with my wife about it, and I'm like, and then I talked with him for like 6 hours one day.
Really?
Yeah, we talked for a long time before I said, okay, we'll do it. And then I forgot that Dog Days was coming up. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to take over your feed because I will literally be posting a episode every single day and we don't have it set up yet. So we're going to come in after like Gen Con is all settled, and we're going to come in at the beginning of September. So if you don't get us here and you decide to go over to Meeple Gamers, you will also see all of our stuff over there as well. So kind of makes
we're not going anywhere. We're expanding.
No. Yeah.
Much and like my ass in an office chair.
You'll see us. I don't know if I can say the other group that I know is
there going is going to be cool people there. And that's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's good people. It's all going to be good, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And he's constantly looking to expand and expand and expand. So, yeah.
So this should be fun, and it's an experiment, and well, for science. I'm always up for stuff for science.
Yeah. I told him that I'd give him 2 years. So
I'll be honest, considering that's longer than most marriages, dude.
Yeah. So as long as we can keep this going, we've got, he said, we have prime real estate. So... That makes me happy. And if.
Yeah, we get prime real estate, but we're the dudes with the lawn gnomes.
Yeah, we are. And the pink flamingos that only have one leg. Yeah. Oh, with those guys, we're kind of the bastard children, and we probably always will be, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, we're also kind of fun, you know? But thank you, Meeple Gamers. We love you because. You know, thanks for taking a chance on us.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are awesome. So we're like, great. They tolerate us. They really tolerate us.
Yeah.
I even showered. Wow. You know, it's the, you know, these guys are like cool and slick. And I'm like, what are they doing talking to you know, us ruffians?
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
you know who we actually have to thank for all of this?
You for talking to people?
No, my wife.
Woo! Thank you, wife.
Yeah, no, I so we were at Origins and we went to go have lunch and we went into the food court, and of course it's the food court at Origins, so it's packed at lunchtime.
Oh yeah.
And there was a small table with like five. There was a pair of dudes sitting there. No, there was just one. And then there were like seven seats. There were like, he had like this huge stretch of tables and he was the only one sitting there. And my wife was like, do you mind if we sit down? We've got a couple of friends that are going to be coming. He's like, no, come on in.
Awesome.
And he just started talking. And before you know it, we clicked and I invited him on the show. And yeah, it's Josh over at Meeple Gamers was who we were sitting with and chit-chatting with.
Oh, I didn't know it was Josh. Oh, that's so cool.
That's how we met Josh at Origins. So we actually have all of this expansion to thank my wife. Thank you, my wonderful, wonderful wife. So, yeah.
Buy that woman some new paints and some cookies. You know, either that or new paintbrushes.
God, we just painted two rooms like this last weekend. So she got new brushes. She got new paintbrush and rollers and everything else for that.
Well, that's not fun.
She enjoys doing that. Our old house, we had repainted every room in the house, I think, like three times.
I don't find that fun. That's like chore. That's super chore.
No, we have fun with it. We try to make it fun and everything. So, yeah.
Last time we had fun, paint got everywhere except the walls. And it's just there was a lot of, on God, you could.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
So.
But, yeah.
Yep.
So, we have veered wildly off topic, but
My fault? I was trying to,
No, it's fine. We were kind of, you know, there's lots of fun games. Try to find something. You know, this is one of the things that we always say is find new games and try them out because you never know what you're going to like.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, believe it or not, sometimes you'll find, like I said, the Dark Souls game, it's a awesome, awesome, super awesome video game. They turned it into a board game that's amazing. Sometimes they will actually take a tabletop RPG, turn it into a video game. So the thing is, like, if you see a property, you're like, well, I like that. I don't know if that's going to work as an RPG. You know, check out who made it. And you might actually find, so it's like, try it out. And if it's good but could use improvement, you know, start talking to the dudes. Like, there's forums and, you know, somebody might have house rules or something. You know, Pinnacle Games, Catalyst. You know, there's forums for all these guys.
Yeah.
See what you can find. And you might find other properties that they might have worked on, like, tangentially. You know, they're like, I believe in this project, but we don't have the time or the staff to do it. But we'll help fund it. So, you know, that's for if there's like a game publisher that I like and I respect and they do and they're kind of they're just like an executive producer kind of thing on a game. And I'm like, if they're willing to pony up funds.
Yeah.
You know, that's another way. So, meh. All right. I've been. It's the blabbering thing. I blame being exhausted and doing dog days and being a grown up. Yes.
All right. Well, let's jump into our lexicon and then run right into closing remarks. How about that?
Works for me.
Lexicon. All right. Where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm still learning the soundboard, guys. Yep. Be happy I haven't done the fart noise, so, you know. You won't let all me right, have full so, control.
It's true. I do reserve the fart noise. That is the one that, my daughter would just keep hitting it if she had a say in it. So, the word for today is galloglass. Do you happen to know what galloglass is?
I don't know. It sounds cool. It sounds like something you'd have in the Old West. Am I right?
Well, it sounds like that, but in actuality, it has nothing to do with that. Or the other thing that I thought it could be was like the glass that you would see like in a coffin.
Hmm?
You know?
No, I've never heard of like glass in a coffin, but that's me.
But, you know, well, like the, some of the old ones, you know, they'd have like cutouts and stuff, but you could put
guys because they you couldn't tell what was death, really death back then. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I thought it was when I first saw the word. I'm like, oh, that sounds so cool. And then I looked it up and I'm like, it has nothing to do with that. But this is still pretty cool. And it's actually, these are mercenaries or retainers of an Irish chief.
Dude.
Yeah, the other one is an armed Irish foot soldier.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds so cool. And if you speak, you know, if you can pull off an Irish accent and you say Gallow Glass, I bet it sounds way cooler and more like it should be. But because I'm an American, I don't have that.
Curse or lack of culture.
I know, but its first known use is about 1515. So.
That's kind of awesome. I like it.
Yeah, I ran across that one and I'm just like, yeah, I got to do that one. So.
Well, where did you hear it? I mean, how the heck did you come across that?
Okay, so some of these are words that I know.
Yeah.
And, but there was in the Pathfinder Game Master's Guide, they had, it's a page, and it's like 9-point or 8-point font. It's small, but it's just words that every GM should know, and it just starts at A and just runs. And some of them I know, I've added some to it, but I pull some from there that are like kind of cool. But I've got like this huge list of all of them that I've got, so...
Neat.
I collect words and then I use them in things and I look them up from time to time because I'm one of those nerds that does that sort of thing. Like on my Kindle, I actually have the dictionary.
Okay.
Not the one that comes that you can like look up words in a manuscript. I actually have a dictionary.
I'm not seeing a problem with this.
No, but that's when I was younger. That's how I learned how to, like, the definitions for weird words was if I was reading something, I always had a dictionary nearby because I always read weird books. So if I didn't know it, I would just look it up real quick in the dictionary that I kept with me. And I did that for about probably 2 or 3 years. And then I finally started really... I mean, I can pull context of what a word kind of means, but you never know exactly what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've always had a love affair with dictionaries and encyclopedias, stuff like that.
Of course.
Ever since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So. And Aztecs. Don't know about that one, but.
Yeah.
I think it's the... we make crazy pyramids and then slaughter people on top of them. So it's fun because I'll look at like pictures of like they'll show like this is an Aztec temple. And it's like I've seen that picture before, but it was like when I was a kid and it was in like this is about the Aztecs book, you know, and it's like, yeah. Holy crap.
I actually learned about Aztec mythology before I learned about the civilization.
Oh, wow. That's fun. That's really fun.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and close this bad boy out because we are running a bit on the long side.
Yep.
A little long in the tooth for you.
I'll blame it being August. So.
Yes.
So we've got the end of the podcast shoutouts, and I actually have a kind of sort of RPG shoutout. It's a board game RPG kind of thing that doesn't require a GM. It's called Mice and Mystics. Pretty much the rules state what you have to do and how the enemies move. So, you know, you don't really need a GM. The stories are kind of pre-written, like Betrayal at the House on the Hill. But, you know, you're a bunch of mice and you have quests and you have to do, you know, you're originally people and they're evil witch, etc. So, but it's, you know, if you're really not sure about tabletop gaming and you're not used to it and you want to experience it and you're kind of, You know, it's a good one for bringing in kids. It's not, look, not a four-year-old, but, you know, eight and up. Yeah. And I recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
And cute. There's a mouse with the needle and it's cute. Don't tell anyone I went adorable on you.
Okay. Yeah, we're just not going to post that on the internet. Not at all. We won't post that. We'll just cut that one segment out. The what was it with the needle?
It's like there's just these one of the mice is just like weapons is this like needle, and he's got like a button as his shield, and it's adorable.
Okay, that sounds pretty cute.
You get the artwork is beautifully done too. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's like your first introduction to RPGs, and if you like it, you know. If you like that, there's all these other things. Psst, take a look.
Yes.
So what you got there, hon?
You know that Torg Kickstarter that I talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funded already. So it had funded before the episode even, when we were done recording.
Oh, yeah.
It had already funded. And one of my players backed it.
Okay.
And he's got the PDF already. The book's done.
Like the new Torg system is
done. Now they're just waiting on the printers. So mine is going to be, I am shouting out Torg again, but you can't get it yet. And as soon as you can get it, I will scream from the rooftops that Torg is available and that you need to go buy it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
I've heard him yell, trust me.
It's, oh my God, it is such a good game. It's fun and it's weird. And I hope that I'm going to start reading that one too. I have so many game books right now to read. It's not even funny. I think I've got a nominee. I've got.
But I'm laughing.
Bubblegum Shoe. I've got Blades in the Dark. I've got Torg. And if I want to read up on the Deadlands stuff, that's five.
Yep.
Yeah, I got my reading cut out for me for like the next 3 months.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
On the positive side, you actually do have reading you can look forward to, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't include my normal reading, so that's the hard part, because I...
Heaven help your brain.
I try to read at least a novel a month. So.
Oh, God, this is not going to be seize the book.
No, it's just how I've always been. I always try to read at least two or three things at the same time.
Nah, it's like, I'm the same way. Well,
I mean,
I can't read, like, let's just put it this way. I couldn't read two, by the same author or something like that.
You know,
if they're similar styles, even though they're completely different books, but I could read an alternative history and then a futuristic cyberpunk at the same time. But I know you and me, considering our appetite for just putting stuff in our brains, we'll never shut up.
Yeah, I am reading right now Hard Duty by Mark Cooper. I'm reading the Complete Christmas Books and Stories by Charles Dickens and Fate of Thoric by Anthony G. Wedgeworth.
Sounds cool.
Those are the three books that I'm reading novel-wise right now.
Yeah. Right
in
now,
addition
I'm not
to the game books.
I'm not doing any novel right now, though. I'm munching my way through the Book of Badass.
Oh, you are.
Last Stands. These are the ones like the Battle of Thermopylae. But it's all these, you know, a few men stood against a thousand, but all these really, really cool, just badass battles written in the most vulgar yet entertaining style.
So. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up and put a bow on it and get it out there for people.
Oh, thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you at the next podcast. Keep cool and keep hydrated, guys.
Yes.
Yep. See you soon.
Bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zendead,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at Seize the GM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zendead@seizethegm.com.
Me at jules@seizethegm.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.